Shall we turn to the book of Malachi in this day? Malachi chapter 3. We're doing today verse 8 to verse 12. Malachi 3, 8 to 12. And the title of the message is Robbing God in Tithes and Offerings and Pathway of Blessings. Malachi 3, 8 to 12. This is what it says. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offering. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Verse 10 says, bring all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourers for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. 2 weeks ago, we saw the Lord making a statement of who he is, saying that he is the Lord who doesn't change. He's God who's the same in his character, in his nature, in his will, his word, his promises, and everything. God does not change. Last week we saw then in verse 7, God who is calling people to return to himself. People who have been walking with the Lord, but for some reason, for the sinful nature, they've turned away from God. They've gone away. God is calling them to return. God calls man to repentance. And man, as we saw, man considers himself as righteous before God. Man does not find any fault in himself. Man thinks he's okay, everything is all right. I'm not dead, I'm not sick, I am fine with God. Man asks a question to God, God, what are you talking about? When God is asking man to return, man is asking, in what way shall we return? Man doesn't think something is wrong with them. Man is so darkened by sin, doesn't even think that they've departed from God. They think everything is fine with God. Man being blind, man being darkened by sin. But God, who doesn't change, knows the state of man, that man have to return to God himself. And today in verse 8, as we read today, we see the Lord points to a specific sin. God goes into details here to point one of the sins the men or the people of the land were committing at the time of Malachi. God says, will a man rob God? Will a creature steal from the Creator? Will a man rob God? God is asking here. The Lord confirms his statement by saying, yes, you have stolen from me. You have robbed me. You are having belongings which are not yours. You are having stuff which belong to me. You are robbing me. You are thieves. You are robbers. You are having stuff which are mine. And we see again, man in his denial state asks God, in what way have we robbed you? Again, man shows how darkened he is. Man shows how blind he is, how disconnected he is. Man asks God, Lord, what are you talking about? Like, are we thieves? Man doesn't think that he's a thief, he has stolen anything. Nothing is wrong with man. The Lord God says, yes, you are thieves. You have robbed me in tithes and in offerings. You have robbed me. You have stolen from me in tithes and offerings. And today, we talk about tithes and offerings. We talk about mostly about tithes. Yes, we're going to talk, because when we did, when I announced that I was going to preach from Malachi, I know for some of you or some of us, anything we've heard about Malachi, it's about tithes. Malachi 3:10, that's the biggest verse, the biggest thing, maybe the only thing Malachi is known for. If you turned your TV today to watch any godish TV, godish channel, it will always about sow your seed. It's about Malachi. It's about Malachi. You know you are robbing God. Come, give your tenth or your tithe. You are robbing God. People will tell you anything. They will say repenting and other things, sin, and then they will say one of the sins is you are not giving your tithes. Tithes, it's the biggest topic everyone talks about in many cases. We've heard of different kind of stories, how people give tithes. We've heard debates from what amount, from what sum you should give tithes. Is it from your brutto learn, or is it from your net? Is it from where people have made a different kind of debate on situation on tithes? We have heard people saying that the key, the magic code is tithes. Things go wrong, or you don't get a job because you don't pay tithe. You are sick because you don't pay tithe. You are not getting any promotion at work because you don't pay tithe. We've heard different stories about tithes. Living in England, we had people who were members of the church in England. But they would say, tell you that, no, I send my tithe to my home church in Africa. I sent my tithe to my home church in Caribbean. You know, I'm just here, I'm a member of this church, but I have my home church. My pastor prays for me. My pastor told me that I have to send my tithe there. And people have different kind of ideas. There's a story of my cousin who's kind of wealthy, he has some money. And he has a sister who doesn't have money. She came to him and said that, my brother, I have this business idea. I want to have a business. Can you give me some money or lend me some money? Then I can go and do business, and then I can come and pay back, or if you want to give me the gift. And my cousin took some money, gave to his sister. This is the money. And guess what happened? When the pastor heard that my cousin's sister had some money, the pastor came and said that, I need the tithe. You have to give the tithe from that money. She took 10% of that money, she gave to the pastor. And then she went to do business. She bought stuff, she came back, she made a loss. And the pastor expected that she came to do business, she has to give the tithe. And the pastor took the tithe even from that money which she came with, which was she had made a loss with. He took some money, the tithe, 10% of that money again. So, my cousin's sister, who's also my cousin in that way, to make it easier, went then to my cousin, who's the guy then, to ask that the pastor is taking some tithe and the business didn't go well. I need some more extra money to do the business. And then, where did money go? And she said to him that, I've paid my tithes. I've paid tithes. And then when I came back, I paid also even my tithes from that. This cousin who gave money went mad. Went mad. He called me. Is this what your church is all about? Are they always about tithes? How on earth that you take even tithes from people who don't even have jobs? Tithe, we've heard different stories. I know in your own life you've heard stories, debates about tithes and offerings. But today we will speak about tithes, what the Bible talks about tithes in the Old Testament. We will go through some verses to know what it is all about. Definition of tithes, it just means a tenth. The word tithe means a tenth. And the history of tithe in the Old Testament, tithe was the Old Testament practice. People in the Old Testament practiced. They gave some money. It was their duty to give some money. And it is found three times, like I would say, three etapes of tithes is appeared in the Bible. The first account, it happens when Abraham had gone to war to fight and to deliver Lot. When he had gone with his army and he has defeated that group, the other kings, and he had also he had even delivered Lot. When Melchizedek met with him, Abraham decided that he was going to give the tenth. That story is found in the book of Genesis 14, 18 to 20. We can read it so that we get the context of it. Genesis 14, 18 to 20. This is what it says. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tithe of all. Abraham gave tithe to Melchizedek. The second account of tithe is when Jacob is found in Genesis 28, 20 to 22. We will read. But it is when Jacob was walking, was going, and he got tired, it was late. He put a stone down and to sleep. He slept in the stone, and he saw a vision or a dream. He saw a dream, angels of God putting a ladder from heaven, and they were going and down, and God was blessing, and God talking to him that God was going to give him a possession of the land. God was going to bless him and his descendants. When Jacob woke up, he said he was going to give a tithe of everything. Let us read Genesis 28, 20 to 22. It says, Then Jacob made a vow, saying, If God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And with this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. That's the second time tithes is mentioned in scriptures. And as you can notice, in both these places, these are freely giving, like free will giving. Free will giving. Melchizedek didn't ask this guy, what's his name? Abraham, to give tithe. God didn't ask Jacob to give tithe out of their own gratitude, out of their own thanksgiving. They decided to give a tenth of what they had. They gave out of their own heart. God didn't demand it. Melchizedek didn't demand it. And this was enormous. It happened only once. Jacob gave once. Abraham gave once. It was enormous. It was not a time that they gave tithe over and over. They gave once. And the third time we see tithe mentioned in scriptures is when it was made a law, when it was codified. When it was codified, when under Moses, when God made it a law, we can see that in the book of Leviticus 27. Leviticus 27:30. It says, "And all the tithes of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It's holy to the Lord. And all the tithes of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It's holy to the Lord." We can go again to book of Numbers. Book of Numbers. This is when it was made a law by God under Moses. Numbers 18, 24 to 26. This is what it says. "For the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer up as a heave offering to the Lord, I have given to the Levites as an inheritance. Therefore I have said to them, among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance." Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak thus to the Levites, and say to them, when you take from the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them as your inheritance, then you shall offer up a heave offering of it to the Lord, a tenth of the tithe." We see again in the book of Deuteronomy 14. We can turn there. Deuteronomy 14, 22 to 29. Deuteronomy 14, 22 to 29. This is what it says. "You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. And you shall eat therefore before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide, the tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oil of the firstborn of your herds and your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. But if the journey is too long for you, so that you are not able to carry the tithe, or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you, when the Lord your God has blessed you, then you shall exchange it for money. Take the money in your hand and go to the place which the Lord your God chooses, and you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen or sheep, for wine or similar drink, for whatever your heart desires. You shall eat, therefore, before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. You shall not forsake the Levite who is within your gates, for he has no part, no inheritance with you. At the end of every third year, you shall bring out the tithe of your produce of what of that year and store it up within your gates. And the Levite, because he has no portion, no inheritance with you, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow who are within your gates, may come and eat and be satisfied, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do. Notice here, from these portions of scriptures, there are different kind of tithes. If you've read carefully, you see that there are different kind of tithes mentioned here. These are the tithes which were made law by God, that everyone in the land of Israel, as you know, by this time, the land of Israel was living in theocracy. It was led by God through the priests and the Levites. They had no king. It was God ruling through the priests and the Levites. God made these laws to them, the giving law for them. They were mandatory. It was like they must. It was a must obligation that they had to give these tithes. Number one, we see a kind of tithe which they gave. It was the tenth of the remainder after the first fruits were taken. This amount going to the Levites for running of the tabernacle. For just a civil tax, a 10% of that what they get, they had to give. You find it in Leviticus 27, 3, 30 to 33. Leviticus 27, 30 to 33. That was the first kind of tithe, the 10%, as it said there, the 10 of the remainder after the first fruits were taken. This amount going to the Levites. This was the money or the tithe, the giving, the tenth they gave for the running of the land. Every Jew was supposed to give that to the priests, to the Levites, so that they could run, they could have the temple feasts, they would organize everything in the land, just for general running of the land, a 10%. And out of that 10%, as they say, that the Levites were to pay to the priests a 10%, which is called tithe of tithes. They had to give, as you find in Numbers 10, 26, and Numbers 18, 26 to 28. The Levites had to pay a tithe. That was the first tithe which everyone in the land had to give. Anyone who had any income had to give. The first 10%. It was not only money, it was anything you own. If you were a farmer, if you were a salary earner or something, you would pay the 10,000 and the 10% of that to the temple to give to the priest for the general running of the land. The second tithe everyone was giving was the second tenth paid by the congregation for the needs of the Levites and their own families. As the Levites had no land, had no inheritance, as the Levites were living by the temple, so the congregation or people in the land had to pay a tenth to them for them also to have means for them how to survive. First ten was given for the running of the temple of the land. The second was for the Levites. This is the one which people talk about most of the time. To give to the Levites, give to the Levites. This is one. And you can find that this in Deuteronomy 12:18. And then there was a third tithe. The third tithe was given every third year. Every third year, every Jew who lived in that land was giving a tithe. You can find that in the book of Deuteronomy 14:28-29. So you notice that every Jew paid more than 10% of the tithe. They paid, if you take just these three tithes, they paid, every Jew paid 23.3% of their income. 23.3% of the income to the temple. The 10% of that went for the general running of the land, the second part to the Levites, and the third one, which is every third year, was for the poor and for the strangers and for the people in the land, as we read here. On top of that, the Jews paid, there was also a fixed temple tax, which they were paying as well. That's the one Jesus paid when he took money from the mouth of a fish, or Saint Peter to take and to pay it. And they were also paying some contributions. The Jews paid also contributions, different contributions to the work of God at the temple. So, when we talk about tithes, it's not only 10% people took today. A Jew paid more than 10%. They paid more than 20. If we can come roughly to 24-25% of their income each year they paid for the running of the country, for the running of the temple, and for the Levites to have something. All these tithes were simply taxes. It's like you and I today, we pay taxes to the government. We pay taxes. Each and everyone who works, the government takes some money, and then they distribute it for all the needs we have. We see they send money for those who don't have, for the poor. They send some money for the roads, for the electricity. They send money for different kinds of things. That's the way the country was run. They were taxes. On top of this, as I said again, the Jews also paid the free will offerings. Free will giving was also there. You remember when they were building the temple, and when they were called, they were told that, come, bring in whatever you can. And people brought in the free will offerings on top of the taxes. They came, and they had too much, they couldn't contain it. The Jews paid more than that. And this is what the Lord is talking about in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. When he's accusing people of robbing him, he's talking to them about them robbing of the taxes of the land, the taxes which God had codified, which God has made the law that they had to pay. Nothing else. These taxes they were supposed to pay. As you see, during the time of Malachi and Nehemiah, the people didn't give the tithes. They didn't pay the taxes as they were supposed to be given. When I was researching this, I found that people were discussing how much it was. Some people spend time, have even done the research or university studies, wanting to know how much the Jews paid. And there was one who agreed that it was so complicated, it was so much, there were so many. But he came to understanding that it was about 23.5%, 24%, 25%. That's what the Jews paid. These are the taxes the Lord God is talking about in Malachi. People were not paying their taxes. It's not anything else as we see today. People making dramas about it. People were not paying their taxes. If you go to the book of Nehemiah with me. Nehemiah 10, 35 to 39. We see these people making a vow that they will pay. These are the people when God has taken them out of captivity, taken them from Babylon, brought them into the land, Israel, and he had helped them, had protected them, has brought them in the land that they would serve. Ezra, the scribe, had come and taught people the land, the law, had put the priesthood, has put the Levites in place, has put the gatekeepers, has put the singers, the servants of the temple. Everything was in order. And the people made a vow of what the duties were. Let us read Nehemiah 10, 35 to 39. And it says, "And we have made ordinances to bring the first fruit, to bring the first fruit of our ground and the first fruit of all, first of all trees, year by year, to the house of the Lord, to bring the first born of our sons and our cattle, as it is written in the law, and the firstborn of our herds and our flocks, to the house of our God, to the priests who minister in the house of our God, to bring the first fruits of our offerings, the fruit from all kinds of trees, the new wine and oil to the priests, to the storerooms of the house of our God, and to bring the tithes of our land to the Levites. For the Levites should receive the tithes in all our farming community, and the priest, the descendant of Aaron, shall be with the Levites when the Levites receive tithes, and the Levites shall bring up a tenth of the tithe to the house of our God, to the room of the storehouse. For the children of Israel and the children of Levi shall bring the offering of the grain, of the new wine and the oil, to the storerooms where the article of the sanctuary are, where the priest who minister and the gatekeeper and the singers are, and we will not neglect the house of our God." You know why the charges are strict on these people? It's because these are the people who made the vow before God. God again showing to them that they are changing. Man is unfaithful. Man made a statement that they will take care. They will not neglect the house of their God. They will not neglect their duties as citizens of the land. They had left their duties. They didn't take the duties seriously. As you can read in Nehemiah 13, 10, they had abandoned. If you read Nehemiah 13, 10, you say that the Levites had left the temple and they had gone to the field. The Levites, the gatekeepers, the temple servant had left. They had gone into the field to work because people were not doing their duties. And these people are rightly accused by God. God is telling them they are thieves. They are robbers. They've robbed God. They have stolen from God. They have not taken their duties seriously. Understanding now where the word tithe comes and how much the people of Israel paid and in what situation, what conditions, what state they were living in. Theocracy, God leading the country through the priests and the Levites, and they had to pay 10% for the running of the country in the temple, 10% directly to the Levites, and then the 10% every third year for the poor and the strangers in the land. These people were not doing their duty. As we see here, they were unfaithful. The Levites had gone to work because they didn't get anything to do. They didn't have any of those monies coming to the temple. And now, verse 9 of Malachi 3. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. In seeking to rob God, they robbed themselves. For they had failure of harvest and famine, judgment corresponding to the sin. They were cursed with a curse. Evil was committed in the land. God is declaring that these people who were unfaithful, who were not taking the duty, who were not paying the taxes, were cursed. Because they were not doing the duty. They were not paying the taxes in the land. And that was not one or two. It was, as he says, the whole nation. They were not doing it. They were not doing what they were supposed to be doing. Verse 10, the most common one, the most spoken, the most misquoted verse. This is what it says. It says, bring all the tithes in into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will not be room enough to receive it. In spite of the situation, in spite of what was happening, the situation is not hopeless. Malachi sets forth the pathway of God's favor. And I think there is an important lesson even for this age, for you and I to learn on this portion of Scripture, this verse 10 here. We see God meets with blessing the heart which is fully committed to Him. God is compelling people to come. And there is this this thing we can learn, this lesson we can learn, that if we expect God to bless us, we have to be ready to do God's commandment in some way. If we want God to open His storehouse, we have first to open ours. We have to be committed to God. If we're expecting anything from God, we have to be committed to Him. In the same sense, we have that responsibility. Relationship goes both ways. You see, the people are compelled here to bring tithes. God is calling for them to pay their taxes. You know, if you don't pay the tax revenue, the country goes bankrupt. The country goes into debts, and there's things happening. There was a state in USA which went bankrupt. Was it Florida? Which one was it? Was about to go bankrupt or something. Which one? Where General Motors was? Is Yeah. Something they were talking about that they were going to go bankrupt, whatever they were talking, because they had no income. As we know about the companies, if the company doesn't make any profit, things go bankrupt. But God is calling people to come and bring in the taxes, to take the duty seriously. He says that, come, bring it to the storehouse. This term refers to a room in the temple designated for the storage of tithes and gifts. This is not the preacher's own pocket. This is not a tele-evangelist's own pocket. As we see, I've heard people talking about tithes and quoting this verse and saying that you can send us our gift, your tithes. We will pray for you. We pray for you. Just send it to us. This is our number down there. The bank account. We have good people. They will answer your call and they will help you with every details. Just send it to us. Just send it to us. Pyramid. People just want to get money from people. The Bible talks here, commanding people of Malachi's time to bring the titles to the temple. In the temple, there was a room dedicated for that. And the Levites, it was not only one Levite. It was not only one priest, it was the Levites, a group of people, were the ones receiving those gifts, putting them in the storeroom. Then dividing, giving the tenth tithe of tithes to the priests. And then dividing everything. And that's what was happening. And that's what they were compelled to do. It says here that there may be food in my house. That the country should run as it should be. The temple should run. The tabernacle should run. The poor should have the food. The strangers will have food. And we'll be able to fix all the fits and everything we need to do. We need the financial means. As you know, every organization needs some means, some financial means. That's what was happening. God was telling these people to bring the taxes to him. And then we see here, the Bible says, put me to test. Put me to the test. This is a really tricky question, because most of the time it's God who tests our hearts. God who tests, but here it's used that we would test God, or the people of Malachi would test God. God is telling them that, see that I am not unchanging. I said that I will bless, and whoever who will come to me, who will obey my commandment, I will not abandon. God is showing his faithfulness. He's telling the people, bring your tithe. Come, bring your taxes, and I will bless you. Put me to the test to see if I'm faithful or not. I know that I am faithful. You are not faithful. Don't neglect your duty. Don't sit on my money. Don't sit on my belongings. Bring them to the temple. Bring them to the temple. Don't rob God. That's what God is telling to the people here. And then the Lord says that the Lord would open the windows of heaven and pour them such a blessing, there would not be enough room to contain it. God is saying that he will bless them. He will open blessing. Anyone who will come and do his duties, be a good citizen, paying his or her taxes, contributing to the well-being of society, the Lord will bless that people. Anyone who is committed, who is totally devoted to do the duties, God will bless them. Verse 11, it says, and I will rebuke the devourers for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. God would send them abundant rains, the rain which is compared to that way around. It's the blessing which is compared to rain, that it will pour. God will bless them. If they come and do their duties, they take their duties seriously, they remember the vow which they made, that the good running of this country is on our shoulders. It is my responsibility as a citizen to do my duties, to know what I'm commanded of, and to do it faithfully. Nothing would stand in the way of God's blessing. We can see that the land had suffered from drought, the land had suffered from famine. People were not doing well because God had turned his face from them. God has closed the windows of heaven. People were not blessed. People were cursed, as the Bible said, they were cursed, the whole nation. God is saying that he will send them the superabundance of blessings when they obey, when they take the duties seriously. This comes back to the vows or knowing your duties. God cannot be messed up about with. You can't mess with God. You can't say something and in 2 days change or 4 days change. God takes our words seriously, our commitment seriously. They made a vow. They were grateful for what God has done to them. The Bible said that when they heard Ezra reading the law of God, they cried, they wept. The older men remembered the law of God. They were weeping. Not because they were sad, because they were joyful to the word of God. And when they were commanded to come and bring the offerings, when things were going well, they came with too much. But after a year, 2 years, 4 years, 5 years, they had abandoned their duties. They had abandoned their duties. They were not doing what they were supposed to do. God had sent in the land the locust, as it said here. The locust had come in the land. You know, those are bad things. God has sent plagues in the land, drought, famine. Locusts, when they come in your family, a farmer, you are dead. It will chew every plant, every herb in your farm. That was what was happening. People were going through the time of bad time. It was not a good time at all because they were not faithful to the Lord. God said that the rain will water your field, and the insect will not destroy the crop. God will be protecting the land. God will make sure that everything goes well. The rain will throw, the land will be fertile again. The cows will have herbs to eat and to get some milk. And the farmers will get the produce, and the land will do well again. We live close to cows. You know that without herbs, they can't survive. Like now in winter, they have to store. If they have, we have a bad summer and they didn't have enough herbs, now in winter, it's calamity. Imagine if it has gone year after year, they have bad season, after bad season, after bad season, cows die. This is what was happening at the time of Malachi. In verse 10, verse 11, God said that he will take off the devourers. God was going to be the one taking care of the people. If you want any prosperity, prosperity is to come from God. God being on your side. God being the one working the wonders. Commanding the trees. Commanding the weather. The rain. The wind. And everything to come at right amount. Too much of water is not good. Too less of rain is not good. You know, it has to be enough. God will take off the locusts, will take off all the things which can destroy, which can hamper a good development of the land. This is what was happening. God had taken off his restricting hand to the animal. The animal or the insects were doing whatever they could do. And he will do it for the sex, as it says here. Verse 12, and it says here, and all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. In way of obedience, and as a result of blessings upon them, all nations will call them blessed. When people are obedient to the way of the Lord, when people are obedient to the command of the Lord, God blesses the people. God blesses the people. Both man and God will rejoice in the land because God had put his hand in them. God has been blessing them when they would obey to his command. In a way of implication, we know first of all that Abraham and Jacob gave a tithe once out of their own willful heart. Abraham said he was going to give, and Jacob said he was going to give, and they gave themselves. God didn't command them. It was act of gratitude. They were thankful to the Lord, what the Lord would done. That would apply to us, you and I, in many senses. God has done something. You have a promotion from work. You have money. You have possessions. Out of your own heart, you can say to the Lord, I will give. I will do this. I will take this. This is on me. The church has this project. This is on me. In New Testament, people think that tithe is a good way of beginning. It's not the good way of beginning. Because we are in New Testament. We are not commanded to give tithes. We have to give as much as we can afford. If God has blessed you with much money, you can give as much as you can. It's not just limited to tithes. We can't become so legalistic in that way that we have to make it a rule that you have to give the tithe. Because it's not a New Testament thing. Tithes were taxes for the people of Israel in Old Testament. They were a theocracy. You remember Apostle Paul and even Jesus tells people of his time to pay tax. He tells them, render to Caesar what is to Caesar. And Apostle Paul in Romans 13 commands people to pay their taxes. People were not paying taxes because at that time the land was occupied by Romans. Romans had occupied the land, and the Jews were not willing to pay the tax to the Romans. They were sinners. That's why even tax collectors were called the sinners, because they were just a mafia. The Romans would say, we want this percent, and the guys who were taking taxes would put some more on top of it, and people were not wanting to pay the taxes. There's nowhere in New Testament where the Bible commands believers to pay taxes. Jesus commands the Pharisees that you are doing good by paying taxes in Matthew 23:23. You are doing good by paying taxes, but you are forgetting to do this and you forget to do that. You should do everything, not only pay taxes or not paying taxes. You should do every command of the law. Taxes or tithes paid by Abraham and Jacob were out of free will. Secondly, we see the taxes which were made the law by the time of Moses. The reason is here. God tells us that so that people will show that they feared him, as we saw in Deuteronomy. It says, Deuteronomy 23, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. It was put there that they would fear God. It was just a law as other laws. They had to give God, they had to serve God with their belongings. Number three, as we know that Jewish people were under theocracy, God was ruling the country, as every country needs some function and some money for it to function. As we are a church today, we need some finances to function. A school needs some money to function. A company needs money to function. A family needs money to function. Money is always part of our life for us to function. And the people were not doing their duties. The tabernacles were not functioning as they would. The land was not functioning as they would. People were guilty. And remember, if anyone talks to you about tithes, ask them how much do they give tithes. If they give 10%, tell them that you are not biblical. That's not tithe. They have to give. There were different tithes. Today we can say that we fulfill that because we pay our taxes. This is what God is telling us here. God is telling the people of Malachi's time that do your duties correctly. Do your duties correctly. Take it seriously. As a good citizen, take your duties seriously. Pay your taxes. We know there are church people, there are Christian people who call themselves Christians, but whose job is to defraud the government. They don't want to pay the taxes. There are people, so-called Christian people. There's Benny Hinn who's been hunted by FBI by not paying taxes. And those are the cases all over the place. If you go to each and every country where charismatic movement is there, you know that the pastors or those people who receive the tithe, who are having much money, they don't pay taxes. There's a church in South Africa. One of the guys told me that he was one of the pastors of the church. Monday was a harvest day for all those working in the church. It was a big charismatic church. It is big charismatic church. DCC, Durban Christian Center. It's big. It has thousands of people every Sunday. They have, I don't know, four services. How many services they have on a Sunday? Monday was a harvest day. They have tills on the bank just for that church. They have people just working there to count money from that church. And on Monday, before the money goes, you see each pastor, each one who works, they will come with the request of how much money they want on that day. This one will say, this amount I need for this. And then they will just count the money, give them. This one will come, this amount I want. Before the money goes to the bank. Before the money goes to the bank, everyone will take. They have the project, they have this. Monday was a harvest day in a church. And this happens some African people don't want to pay their taxes. They don't want to do their duties. As Christians, we are to pay our taxes. We are to give to God what belongs to God. Or in this case, we have to pay our taxes. In time of Malachi, they had to pay the taxes to the temple. What God is talking in Malachi is the taxes. I want to say that time after time, you remember time after time. Next time, God willing, we'll talk about New Testament giving. That will be the first time we'll talk about giving in this church. We never spoken about it, which is not good, actually. But we will talk about giving in this church. We will go through what does the Bible talk about in giving in New Testament. But put into your mind, tithes is Old Testament thing. Believers are not to pay tax, and we have our patterns. The tithes, we have our patterns of how to give in. We are to pay taxes. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, that you are revealing your truth to us, telling us about our responsibilities and our duties. Father, as citizens, as people you have placed in this land, we have our duties. We have our responsibility to make the country run by us paying our dues to the government, for us rendering to Caesar what is Caesar's. For us being good citizens, the Apostle Paul says in Romans, by giving to the government what is due to them. Help us, God, not to be like people of Malachi's time, neglecting our duties. Father, giving as you have commanded us. We pray that you bless us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.